You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Oh, it is so good to be with all of you tonight. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and my very patient co-host, Greg Bach. It is great to be with you. Happy Monday. Happy post-storm Monday, folks. Greg, how are you? Did you get through it okay?
I got through it fine. Southeastern Wisconsin, Kenosha, where I live, we did not get hit that badly. I got probably about 3 inches, and then with some drift there, but not bad. The problem for us, I think personally, is the fact that we got a ton of rain the day before, and then it snowed, so all the snow was really wet and really heavy. So that was not great. But as our senior producer Tucker, or now as I'm referring to him as T Sizzle, he said that, you know, and I agree, it wasn't that bad compared to other parts of the state who just got, and like you got walloped. So yeah. I'm just happy to see you here today because there was a good chance you were not going to be on the show.
It was kind of a last minute thing. I was striking out everywhere and we figured something out. And I'm at my sister's house right now because she's the only person in the area that had power. And she doesn't have Spectrum. So power went out for some, Spectrum for others. All my backup plans were squashed. But my sister, Julie, coming through in a pinch. She's got her power and Brightspeed. So go figure. But I'll tell you all about my weather issues in just a couple of minutes. But yeah, we got walloped. We got hit.
But we also have a really good show, folks. And every time I say that, I cannot not feel like Ed Sullivan. We've got a really good show, folks.
Really good show.
We are talking to Dr. Keith Polson today. And after the 5:30 news, we're going to be talking about the fact that bird flu is back. It was here sometime about a year ago, and now it's back. And we're going to talk to him about what we should look out for, how we avoid it, and also what can be affected. I mean, one of the things that the bird flu really hit hard was the egg prices back in 2024, which was a huge concern for a lot of people. And we just want to take a look at that and be aware. And so he will be here after the 5:30 news. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, very excited about this, a friend of both of ours. She is a comedian, a writer, performer. She's a voice actor. She has performed, this is a big thing for me, she's performed on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. Mary Mack will be here talking about her comedy. She's doing a tour right now. It's going to be very fun to talk to her.
She is so great. I don't know her the way you do. I've only had her on the show before and gotten to know her that way. But she literally, Greg, when there's a guest on and they're funny, you laugh. But with Mary, she caught me so off guard the first time she was on the show. I was not expecting her to be that funny and stick to that character, and it just cracked me up. I'm so glad she's here.
Which is funny because, like, when people listen to her, what people have to understand is that that's not much of a character. Mary is Mary, and it's going to be a really good time. I'm very much looking forward to it. And then, you know, just, you know, it'll be a we'll have a really good show. I can't stop saying that. My goodness. I feel like I'm going to get sued by the estate of Ed Sullivan or something like that. Let's see here. She's going to be
on that stuff.
She'll be on at 6:20 and she'll be with us. That'll be really great. And then we'll have ourselves we didn't refer to this last week, but the end of the show, the nightcap.
Love it. That'll always be fun. The little wrap up. We put a bow on every edition of Nightlight moving forward. It's going to be great. We've got a fun contest coming up, Greg, very shortly, and a great question too.
Oh, that's right, too. So we're going to, well, let's take care of the contest first. We'll get to the question next. Dom, I know this is very last second. I apologize. Do you have any, like, big, like, music, like, ba-ba-da-da, like, something like that?
I mean, I have this, you know. Is that
there it? There we go. Okay. Let's do it. I'll take it. I will take it. I didn't ask before. That's quick thinking on his part. Pete, Dom, folks out there, we are on the first day of our break into spring Text to Win multi-state contest. This is how it works. Every day we will have multiple chances to win. We'll have seven separate opportunities to win $200. I'm sorry, you enter in daily for $200 daily prize. I said that incorrectly. I'll just read the copy. It's your daily chance to win $200, plus every entry you're going to put in there will get you into a drawing for a brand new mattress set from Verlo. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to give you a word, and you're going to open up your Civic Media app. You're going to text in this word to us. Spelling counts. Capitalization does not. You text once and once every time we do this. So seven times throughout the day, you are in for that daily $200 prize. And you must have the Civic Media app to enter. So that's also, can't call, can't text just through your phone, has to be through the Civic Media app. You can't put it on the live stream, must be through the Civic Media app. If you don't have the app, download it right this moment. You will have one full hour to participate. So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you the word. Here is the word. The word is, there, Queen. Q-U-E-E-N. Text that word in right now via the Civic Media app for your chance to win $200 and for an entry into a grand prize drawing for a brand new mattress set from Verlo. Again, that word is Queen. Q-U-E-E-N. Spelling counts, and we will get back to you if you do spell it wrong, because people have spelled it wrong. But good luck. Queen. Q-U-E-E-N. All right, you have 1 hour. And good luck to all of you, friends.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's a great. I actually have a Verlo mattress, and I can say that, you know, my brother had one. He swore by it. So yeah. For what it's worth, it's a great mattress.
Verlo's
brand
a great
new
mattress.
Bed. Who doesn't want a brand new bed?
Pete, my God, when we moved into our house, we didn't get a Verlo. I'm sorry, Verlo. I apologize, Verlo. We got one of those mattresses in a box where you have to open it up and just let it open.
Oh yeah, right. It's
very odd, but. We got a king-size mattress, and I'm so happy.
Same. Listen, Greg, or Dom, either one of you guys, you come up to Marinette sometime when the weather gets a little better. Try out the Verlo. Take a nap. Let me know what you think. Just wear underpants. Other than that, I think it's a great mattress.
I'm out.
Yep. I'm out. I'll go with Greg.
Me and Dom will get in the car, and we will take a trip to Holiday Hanukkah Christmas Town, USA. And
listen, it might be Jason Chef Town now after that concert the other night.
Oh, that's right. We need to talk about that as well. All right. Well, my gosh, there's so much to discuss. Before we do anything else, look at everything coming through here on the I love it. The text line is lighting up. And folks, if you do spell it incorrectly, we'll let you know. We won't be mean. We'll just let you know because we want you to get entered into the contest. But I see Luann, Charles, Scott, Susan, Ron, getting at it. Get in there. The word is Queen. Text in the word Queen on your Civic Media app. Be part of the Break into Spring Multi-State Text to Win Contest. All right. Do we or do we not have a question for the night, Pete?
We do have a question of the night, and we'll have to just kind of decipher all these great texts coming in from our Break into Spring Multi-Text Contest. But we could do that. So let's do the question of the night, Dom.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, what is a TV show you've been meaning to binge watch, but haven't yet? What is a TV show you've been meaning to binge watch, but haven't yet? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the text line. You can text us on the app, which you need anyway to play the contest. So check that out if you don't already have it. And if you are watching the radio and looking at my glorious background on YouTube, Facebook, or ex-Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment. Get a hold of us any way you can, folks. But get a hold of us because it's more fun when you guys participate.
Casper on the text line says, I've got a California King because tall. What's interesting about a California King, though, is that a California King is wider and shorter. So, like, a king-size bed is 80 by 76, and a California King is 84 wide by 72 long.
Are you sure that's not flip-flop? I always thought a California King was a little narrower but longer.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the differences. 80 King, 80 long, 76 wide. California King, 84 wide, 72 long. So
he could sleep the other way
and
be covered because Chris is a tall guy.
He's a tall chap. He's a tall, he's a redwood of a man.
Did you know he was a great athlete, too?
I did not know that.
He was like a track guy, and I assume he could dunk because he's like 7 feet three.
That makes sense. That effect, he's a giant dude. Like I'm tall, and when I see him, I'm like, hello up there. So
yeah.
All right. Well, that's okay. So we got the question. What's a show that you've been wanting to binge but haven't yet? I gotta think. I have a couple.
Same.
I do too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
But let's in the time we have left, let's get back to some things.
The first big story.
All right. So as I mentioned, you know, if you look at the map of the state, and I know our civic media colleague Corey posted this a map, mm-hmm. we got hit the worst. I think Wausau might have. We were right there with Wausau and maybe yeah. another town in the UP. But here's what my thinking was. I took a group to the concert to see Jason Scheff, former Chicago yes. lead singer, who was on the show.
Yeah.
Got to introduce him. He said they knew the weather was coming. Yeah. And the facility said, we'll give you a ride back to Chicago. They hired a car. He goes, no, we're taking our own cars and we're driving 90 miles an hour to beat the weather. So I thought, well, this will be great. We'll have a concert. Then we get holed up. We made all these plans because we knew we were getting bad weather. And we decided to stay at our house the first night, knowing mm-hmm. it could get bad. I woke up at 7 in the morning and it said life expectancy threat urgent. So I'm waking my wife and my dog.
Scary.
Yeah. The wind was coming, the snow was coming, and I was surprised we hadn't lost power already because that's kind of what our house does. So we got over to this place and I was all set. They have a huge generator, we're all set. And then Spectrum went over there. So we were holed up. We got out a little bit, but you guys, you should have seen the trees. They were like, you don't want to be outside because the weather was so angry and downright rude, frankly. But it was horrible. And then, yeah. so I'm lucky I found this place to do the show because I thought I was going to be out of luck. But it was, I guess snow plows were going off the road and there's no streets where I live that have been plowed other than a few main thoroughfares. It's insanity. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, and the thing that I don't ever want to look, I understand that being, especially in the situation of a snowstorm, your job as a, especially when you work for the city, it's not easy. And everyone wants everything right now. And they want it perfectly. And they want it right now. And they want it done yesterday. And they want it done right now. And I get that. But we've known about these storms for a while. And when I see, like, down here in Kenosha, there is always, like, you know, there's the one main thoroughfare that's good. And then everything else is junk. And I mean, the thing is, like, by the end of the week, most of that snow will be melted down here, at least, because we're supposed to be in the 50s and 60s by the weekend. Which, by the way, going to Arizona this weekend, it's going to be 105. Oh, God.
They only got a couple inches of snow down there. You should be okay. But
in Arizona or in Kenosha?
No, Arizona. No, but shout out. I want to give a shout out. Adam Grace, my parents' neighbor, came over with a snowblower and did yeah. like 3 feet of snow in their driveway. So I got my Land Cruiser out. My Land Cruiser's plowing around my little roads because I live in this small community.
Yeah.
But to get to a house, it's not going to go through a 7-foot drift. So no. It's like I'm getting around okay. We checked to see if anybody needed help, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just inside. It was great. But if he hadn't done that, I probably would not have been here because I couldn't carry radio equipment on foot, like 3/4 of a mile. It just wouldn't work. So.
Well, I'm glad, I'm glad you are here today. I'm glad you are safe. I'm glad that you, thank you for looking out for people around your community. And folks, it's going to still be cold. I think we're still going to get some more snow this week. So keep it close, locked here on Civic Media for all your weather updates. When we come back, we talk about more of the things on the big things list. Also, the word queen, text in the word queen via the Civic Media app, QUEEN. You are listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. It is great to have you with us on this Monday night. We are we're in the middle of our three big things that we do every show in the first couple segments. And we've got Text to Win that Greg just told you all about. We'll give you the keyword again in a few minutes. Very exciting. It's our break into spring multi-state text to win contest. Did I get
boom?
That right?
Nice. Wow, look at that. Nicely okay. done. All right.
Working without it. Working. Working without a net tonight, folks. That's exciting. So good luck, everybody, on that. And we are in the middle of our three big stories of the day. Dom, I believe we're ready for number two.
The second big story.
So did you hear about this whole Iran thing? There's a whole Iran thing going on here.
What?
That's my bad Jerry Seinfeld slash terrible comedian voice.
What is the deal with that?
Do you ever, guys hear about Iran? So right now it seems like in the Wall Street Journal there's a story that came out. This is not just the Wall Street Journal, this is all over. I heard it on Civic Media, like the local news portion talking about this as well in the CBS news. They're trying to, you know, open the Strait of Hormuz where the oil is coming out of, which usually comes out of Iran, is then shipped to various parts of the world. And it has essentially been closed by the Iranian government. And the president is doing his best, most diplomatic ways of saying, help us. Not saying, could you please help us? Would you please help us? Saying things like, quote, the U.S. doesn't need help, or they will help. I expect them to help us. It's really just a masterclass in diplomacy, Pete.
It's insanity. It's like, you have to help us, China, France, Japan, South Korea, UK, or gas prices are going to stay high. Well, yeah. Because of us. Like, what? It's just such an odd thing. It's like,
yeah.
Again, it seems like there was just no plan. Or, Greg, I suspect they didn't think it would last this long. Or that Iran would, you know, throw up their hands, but they're not doing that. So I don't, how do you respond if you're one of these countries that some people are saying he's trying to bully into helping us, and some people are saying he demand help us?
You say, you do what France does, and they say, go kick rocks. And that's exactly what they've done. Yeah, they said, no, we're not going to help you. And I imagine they're not going to help him in this form. And the thing is, he's not saying anything that's helping either. He said, he's like, the U.S. doesn't know who's in charge of Iran. I don't know. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. It's right there. You can see it for yourself. He said they're a paper tiger. That's right. Poke at the people who have our oil, and also the people that you say are a huge threat, and then says something, they don't have too many missiles left. What a beautiful statement, you know?
I thought they were all gone after the last go-around, and now we've got energy prices going up, too, astronomically. Yep. I think it's, you know, with the data centers and the war and, you know, tariffs. So it's just, this is really... I hope something gets done about this quickly, because everybody is being affected by this, Greg.
I mean, I just remember something, folks. This is an election year. That's all I'll say. It's an election year. We go to the polls next month and in fall. Remember that. Remember who supports what. Just saying, we're voting for a new governor, too.
Right. I hope there is an election, because gas prices are so high, Greg, so we might not have to have elections. All right. We're ready for our next big story.
The third big story.
Did you watch it, Greg? Did you watch the Oscars?
I watched some of it. I went to bed at a certain point because it just is a very long show. I got what I needed. I saw great Conan stuff. The cold open was great. The monologue was really good. I thought it was very funny because last year during the fire, there was so much more, I don't want to say like, unity, but like it felt like there was more levity in that room because of what was going on. But last night he was doing great jokes, and once again a Hollywood crowd trying so hard to laugh at themselves but failing miserably.
Do you think, see, here's what I don't understand, because I agree. Let's just sticking with the broadcast, I thought overall the comedy was terrible. When the presenters would come out and they do some shtick, they're not comedians. I don't expect it to be great, but oh, was it tedious at times. And even Conan, who I thought crushed it last year and crushed the monologue this year, it was just not great. I don't know what it was. And those jokes in the monologue, I totally agree with you, were outstanding. But that room, I think that, what I've heard anyway, I've been snubbed now by the Oscars for 30 years, there's so much, everyone's nervous. They're just like, they're around peers, and you think Timothy Chalamet's a big shot. Oh, he's sitting next to Steven Spielberg, so he's on it. Like, it's just that kind of energy, because those were outstanding jokes. I don't think he got the Hosanna he should have for those jokes, but I thought the comedy overall, just get rid of it. Have a funny monologue, but if those are the bits, and my son even said, they're just Nepo babies as writers now that are writing those jokes because they were god awful. Well, overall, I thought it was great, though.
I don't know who writes the jokes for the actors. I mean, Conan's team, I know two of the writers on his team for that. And they're not writing bad jokes. They're going to be delivered poorly, or they're hiring other people to write jokes for those actors. I don't know. That's something. I mean, honestly, I could text someone right now and find out. I'm not sure. That's a very good question.
Really curious about that, because they were not the same. The monologue jokes were written by professionals. Those were great jokes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other stuff I didn't like. But I loved that, you know, I loved that one battle after another. I was happy mm-hmm. with that. I thought Sinners might win, but they got some love too. Frankenstein surprised with 3 Oscars. Yeah. There was a tie. Sean Penn won, and he wasn't.
It was very surprised. Oh, Kieran Culkin's response was, he's not here, or he just doesn't want to be.
it was great. So I'll accept this for him, yeah.
Sinners won 4 out of 16. That's, I was surprised they didn't win Best Song. I'm really surprised. Delroy Lindo, that didn't surprise me. I wanted him to win, but it didn't surprise me. It surprised me that Sean Penn won, but I was really surprised that Rafael Sadiq and they didn't win for that song.
I'm with you both times. I thought Sean Penn gave a better performance than Delroy Lindo, even though I was kind of rooting for Delroy Lindo, mm-hmm. but the part was different. Sean Penn took chances, and it could have backfired, but it didn't. I don't know. He's just a weird guy, though, too. The fact that he showed up didn't surprise me. All right, we are coming right back, folks. We're going to do the news, and then we will be back with Michael Paulson, who's going to tell us all about Dr. Keith Paulson. I'm sorry. Oh, should have gave you that one, Greg. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You are listening to us live and in charge, whether you're listening on the radio, watching on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, with the platform we still call Twitter, or on the Civic Media app, which, by the way, you can listen to us on the app and also participate in the Break into Spring Text to Win multi-state contest right now going on this hour. The keyword is Queen, Q-U-E-E-N. Text it in right now. Spelling matters. Capitalization does not, but text the word Queen, Q-U-E-E-N, in via the Civic Media app. It's the only way you can participate. You're going to be in the running for the daily drawing of $200, and then everyone is put into the grand prize drawing for a new mattress set from Verlo. So get yourself the Civic Media app now. Participate, listen, get your news, have fun with it. It's great. It's absolutely free. All right. In the second hour, we will be welcoming comedian Mary Mack to the show. But right now, let us bring on to the program our first guest of the evening. He is the director of the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab and is a clinical professor of veterinary medicine at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Got that all out in one breath. Dr. Keith Paulson is with us. He is not just a doctor and a professor, but he's also a good neighbor, because before we got on the air, we were talking about the fact that you were helping your dad shovel, and then on the way back to your house to be on the interview, you had to help someone, or you didn't have to, you helped someone get out of a ditch, because that's what we do here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to use the tow chain when you have it, right?
Oh, you used the tow chain?
I had to, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're so cool.
I've only ever pushed, and a tow chain with that beard, you are already at astronomical coolness. That's fantastic, Doctor.
I will say this. Dr. Paulson is definitely a reason you want to watch the live stream. That man, that's a good look. I'm liking the look. But we asked my wife here. We'll write a handy note. We wanted to talk to you, though. It's a serious situation. We saw this in the Wisconsin Public Radio website, and we've seen other things coming through. Bird flu is back, and it has been hitting the poultry farms of Wisconsin. Can you give us, Dr. Paulson, just kind of a brief overview of bird flu, as far as, like, not just what it is, but the fact that, you know, in this story it says we've seen this before, and it's been not too long ago when we were dealing with bird flu, like a year and a half ago. So, not to quote Jerry Seinfeld, but what's the deal?
Right. You know, so the lab, the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, WVDL, we have two locations, Barron and Madison, And we're part of what we call the National Animal Health Laboratory Network, which is a network of 66 labs across the country. And we've actually been activated to fight this outbreak of bird flu since 2022. So while it gets hot during the migration seasons, we've been dealing with this in one shape, manner, or form since 2022, really on the heels of COVID. So, but this particular strain, the reason why we are continually seeing this is because what we call the reservoir, or where the kind of the source of infection is, in our migratory wild bird population. And anyone out there, even today, are seeing the, you know, Canada geese or the coots. I saw some coots and some ponds on my drive today. You know, this particular strain of flu, what we call highly pathogenic avian influenza, hasn't really affected the waterfowl. They've adapted to it. But as they move throughout we're in the Mississippi Flyway, whether it's the West Coast, the East Coast, or the Mississippi Flyway, twice a year they come through. Then they commingle down by Patagonia and Antarctica, and then they commingle back up in the Arctic Circle, and then they mix with all the other birds from around the world. So that's how this virus kind of moves around the global flyway. And so why is it still sticking around? That's a really good question that we don't really have the answer to, because it tends to be sporadic about how severe it is. But it certainly, last fall, we got hit pretty hard, the spring before, and then now this spring has been very challenging.
I read in the Wisconsin Examiner that there were 3 recent cases in southern Wisconsin, isolated cases. Mm-hmm. What does that mean exactly? Like, does that mean it's been neutralized effectively, or are we panicking that it's back, like you just said? What's the concern level there that it's 3? Is that manageable, or is that just a sign of worse things to come?
That's really hard to predict. We do know that when birds are affected, and we've been working with the Egg Producers Foundation and the farm owners about, they have very good biosecurity. And so how are they continually being reinfected? Because one of the farms had just repopulated from being affected late last fall. And it's very frustrating. It's hard to keep a business model rolling that way. And how is it specifically getting in? And they're finding more and more, but we know that this virus has been in most of our major waterways and watersheds now. It's the predominant virus now for a couple of years. So when we go through, we know that it's there in the environment, and how and when domestic poultry gets affected, because they're very, very sensitive to it. And what happens when we see, like, some of these farms were 1 million birds or multiple million birds, what we'll see is you'll start seeing 10, 20% die off overnight. And then those flocks are depopulated, which means that we have to humanely or destroy those birds, because A, we don't want those birds to die from disease alone. And B, we need to stop viral spread, because they're shedding lots and lots of virus. So we try to contain it as much as possible. And we've seen now since 2022, since we've been activated, this is the worst foreign animal disease in U.S. history. Yet we still don't really have a good handle on it. And I'm sure we'll probably get into this over the half hour, but, you know, we don't have great tools to really either prevent it and or manage it, because we don't have a treatment. There are vaccines out there, but they're not licensed for use by the USDA, which is a whole nother topic we could get into. But you know, being in the Southeast, we've had years where we've only had Mississippi Flyway and Northwest Wisconsin, closer to the river. And that dealt mainly with our turkey population, because there's a huge turkey industry in that area. But this year, it seems to be more laying hens in Wisconsin, and then certainly turkeys in Minnesota and South Dakota, and then a lot of laying hens in Iowa and Indiana and Pennsylvania.
Is something of clarification, because it was actually, that was going to be my next question, but you answered it. When, you know, Pete mentioned there were 3 cases. When they say cases, are they, is a case a location, or is a case a, like, one bird? And when you say they have to be exterminated or term or I don't know what the technical term is.
Humanely destroyed. Yeah.
Are we talking about the entire population of that group, or is it just like a certain? So if I'm a if I own a farm and we find bird flu, I have to just knock out everything and start fresh.
Yeah. So here's how it works on a poultry farm, which is very different than dairy. And we did see a dairy farm in Wisconsin, but in poultry, what happens is that the poultry industry has been dealing with this now for multiple years, and it's not the first time that they've dealt with it. The last outbreak we had before 2022 to 2026 was actually 2015. And that was the first very kind of large scale we've had in quite a while. But what happens is you see a very large mortality. And when you're dealing with large populations of bird, you're going to have some mortality on a regular basis. We try and keep that as low as possible. But like I said, you're just going to see 20-30%. And we don't really look at one bird. We look at the entire premise. And that's so that entire farm, we call it a premise. And the reason why is it's actually a premises. A premise is something in your mind, right? But on a premises, every premises has an ID. So we have a premises ID. So we consider that farm as a premise. And with that ID and that location helps us manage it kind of using GIS or geographical information systems to be able to control outbreaks. So in that premises, once identified, so they'll either take a dead bird or a swab and they'll send it to our lab in Madison. We're the only lab in the state that can run that as part of the National Animal Health Laboratory Network. But once it becomes what, you know, we call non-negative or a detection, we actually send split samples, and one will go to either a lab in Plum Island, New York, which is moving to Manhattan, Kansas, or to the National Veterinary Services Lab in Ames. And then when we see additional farms, our lab can call it with the state animal health official, who's Dr. Darlene Kunkel, our state veterinarian. So once we have a positive, we know that a positive or an affected premises, we're going to see upwards of 100% mortality anyway. That's why the birds are what we call depopulated or humanely destroyed. Gotcha. So and it's a big part of trade too, is that we have to stomp out the disease on the premises. It doesn't really make a lot of logical sense because we know it's in the environment, but there's a whole lot of levels of economic trade and politics along with animal health. The animal health side is actually probably the easier side. It's dealing with the politics, multiple different import and export markets, and then the economics that go behind it.
Our guest is Dr. Keith Polson. He is the director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory. He's also got a PhD. Not too shabby, doctor. It's great to have you here. I wanted to ask you about vaccines. I know some countries are, you know, using vaccines. We are not here in America. Why is that? Is it a cost factor, or is it too difficult, time-consuming? What are our reasons for that?
Yeah, there's a couple different reasons why we don't use a vaccine right now. There are multiple what we call USDA licensed vaccines, and what that means is that so whether it's Boehringer or Zoetis, we may have a vaccine that the USDA has gone through what we call safety testing. And with that safety testing, when they license it, that means that it could be used if they decide to approve it. Then USDA will say if and when they decide to use a vaccine, then it goes to the states, and then the states have to approve it. And when we think about it, each state has a different ag economy. They have a different set of politics, a different culture. And so with 48 different contiguous states, it gets to be pretty complicated. So there's a lot of different things moving in that direction. And we could probably, we'll maybe continue after, I think, a break coming up.
Yeah. We are talking to Dr. Keith Polson here. If you have any questions, feel free to text them in on the Civic Media app or on your phone. Give us a call. Let us know. I have some questions as well. I mean, this is a I feel like, you know, this is a topic that affects everybody, and it fuels conversations for politics. We won't get political, but I do have a question about that on the other side, if we can get to it. But we'll be continuing that conversation with Dr. Keith Polson here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bock. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. Don't forget, the word for the hour is Queen, Q-U-E-E-N. Text it in via the Civic Media app. Be part of the Break into Spring multi-state text to win contest here on Civic Media. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bock here on the Civic Media Network. You can be a part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Do not forget, tonight's question is, what is a TV show you've been meaning to binge but haven't been able to yet? And you still have a few minutes left to participate in the Break into Spring multi-state text-to-win contest. Get out your Civic Media app right now and text in the word Queen, Q-U-E-E-N is the word. Spelling counts, capitalization does not, and good luck. We are talking to Dr. Keith Polson, who is the director of the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, very difficult words to say out loud, and a clinical professor of veterinary medicine at the University of Wisconsin Madison, and we're talking about the bird flu outbreak that is happening right now. And I mean, honestly, I just kind of want you to say what you said over the live stream, which, like, the vaccination issues of is starting with the point of, like, you know, what we do here versus what China does, what France is doing, and how that, like, how that impacts all of us, especially when it comes to trade.
Yeah. So I think the best way to start, you know, we kind of ended at the break of, here's how we authorize a vaccine. So let's say the U.S. controlled disease, because it has high consequence for trade and public health. Mm-hmm. So what happens then? What do we need for a vaccine to be effective? We want to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes that we've seen other countries or markets do. And we've been vaccinating for highly pathogenic avian influenza now for a couple of decades. We've used billions of doses, and we still have a significant problem. So there's three big things that we have to do if we're going to decide to use a vaccine. One is that we need a vaccine that we can deliver with something besides a needle, right? Mm-hmm. So we need something that we can either aerosolize or maybe put in food or water so we can vaccinate huge populations of birds very quickly, because that kind of follows the next most important thing is we have to vaccinate everybody at once, so everyone has protective immunity at once, and that allows kind of that virus to die out in a population. And when that doesn't happen, it's very similar to what we see with measles going around the country, is that as soon as 90 to 95% of the population is not vaccinated anymore, you get people in there that are shedding tons of virus, and then that virus is going to overwhelm the protective immunity of a vaccine. And the next thing we need is called a diva vaccine. So, you know, not many people would recognize, oh, a diva vaccine, I get that at Walgreens. That's not quite what we're talking about. A diva vaccine is what we call differentiate infection from vaccinated animals. So D-I-V-A. And what that means is that we have diagnostic tests so that we know that if we have a positive, is that from a vaccine or is it from what we call a field infection or a wild type strain? So then kind of coming back to that, let's say we catch all three, right? We want to vaccinate everyone all at the same time because flu changes all the time and we need protective immunity as the birds, the migratory wildfowl are moving up or down the flyways, depending on the season. Is that now, what does that do to the United States? Particularly, it has two big impacts on trade. The way that we do animal agriculture trade, whether it's live animals, genetics, cheese, or meat products, each market has a different set of requirements. And what we have is right now is that we are considered disease-free with eradication. Ideally, we would just be disease-free. But as soon as we start using a vaccine, that downgrades our trade status and we have to renegotiate all of our trade certificates or our trade agreements. And those take a long time. Mm-hmm. And France did that in 2023. They vaccinated just their breeding ducks, and that turned off the US and the UK markets immediately. But then they mm-hmm. recognized and they did some regionalization, and then it kind of came back over time. That's why in 2023, we didn't have foie gras. Now, the next thing about vaccine and trade is that as soon as we start vaccinating, it makes it very difficult to not accept birds from vaccinated countries like Mexico. Mexico is endemic for high path avian influenza. And what that is that it's going to flood the market with poultry protein or chicken meat that can be produced at a much lower cost than US. So it's going to have a lot of different economic implications there.
Wow.
Dr. Paulson, we have a couple minutes left. How, I know there's been about.
I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me?
Am I there? Go ahead, Greg, if he can hear you.
Dr. Paulson, can you hear me? Can you not hear me at all?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Not
Craig,
sure
Craig, I have a bird flu question for you, actually.
I don't think he can hear me as well. So, okay. Unfortunately, let me bring him back in real quick. Dr. Paulson, can you hear me now?
Can you hear us now, doctor?
Okay. There we go. Unfortunately, that we had some more questions for him. This is so much more fascinating and deeper than people understand. And I didn't even get a chance to ask about certain political implications because of how bird flu affect egg prices and affect political messages, if you will. The fact that we talked about that in 2024 a lot, we talked about everyone's like, the egg prices are too high. Well, actually, bird flu had a lot to do with that. And then when the bird flu was being taken care of, the egg prices came down, such and so. But hopefully we can have Dr. Paulson on again because this conversation just felt like it was getting started.
That was great. And I know I was going to ask him about, I know there was a 13-year-old girl a couple of years ago that had it in Canada, was in critical condition and recovered. But the mortality rate, not mortality rate, but about half of the people that get infected with it die. So it's a pretty serious, if humans do get it, there have only been like 1,000 cases, but still for the people that get it, you know, it's just as important. So,
well, I want to thank Dr. Paulson for being here and hopefully we can have him back sooner than later. Then maybe continue this conversation or talk about other things because he is the director of the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab at the University of Madison. He's also a clinical professor of veterinary medicine, and we appreciate him being here today. When we come back, we'll be talking about the question of the night as well. And don't forget, you have like a few seconds left. Q-U-E-E-N.
Get
Queen is the word to text in via the Civic Media app. You have one last chance for this hour and then another chance at 7 p.m., so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Mom, you can't enter the contest. Stay tuned.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.